This morning is a very special service because it's a baptismal service, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But we've kind of changed things up a little bit here this morning. Pastor Eric was going to be bringing a message related to our vision and to what we have been touting as D groups or discipleship groups, more specifically addressing our discipleship pathway here. How does a person who comes to New Life move from perhaps being a seeker to being a full-fledged follower of Christ? And how do we move them along the continuum of becoming more and more like Christ? Yesterday, Eric informed Ryan and myself that his mom on Friday had been admitted to an Ohio Health hospice facility. And Eric learned yesterday that she will not be coming home, that she may only have a few days left to live. So needless to say, Eric's got a lot on his plate. And we wanted to take this message off of it and let him concentrate on his family. And so we would just ask that you would pray for him, pray for his mom, pray also for the entire family, as this is a difficult time. There's uncertainty as to God's timing and what would happen thereafter. But we're just kind of pushing things back a week. So next week, we'll come back to the message that was going to be preached this week. And then the following week is when we will have people come and share their stories and testimonies and experiences about being a part of a discipleship group. So I thought then, in lieu of that, that it would be fitting to take at least a few moments today to talk about baptism. You might want to call it a baptismal sermonette. I'm not sure if that's really a thing, but I want to share a little bit with you. And much of what I'm going to share this morning comes out of our New Life's baptism FAQs, our frequently asked questions. And so if you're interested in learning a little bit more, see me afterwards. I'll be sure to get that document into your hands. But before we go any further, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that despite being a holy God, that you have not left us in our sin, you have not consigned us to eternal separation from you, but you took the initiative to overcome our sin, that we might be able to stand in your presence in the righteousness of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins, for paying the penalty for them, and for the gift of eternal life. This morning, as we witness individuals coming to the waters of baptism, Father, we're reminded about our own commitments. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as we witness these baptisms, as we hear these stories, these testimonies, that, Lord, you would just speak to our own hearts about the importance of being in right relationship with you, of knowing that we know that we know that we know that we belong to you, and that, Lord, we want to spend the rest of our lives living for you and saying thank you for all that you've done for us. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage this entire body this morning as we look at your word and as we also witness these coming forward for baptism. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a story about an old drunk that one day stumbled upon a baptismal service that was being held at a river down south somewhere. And people were being baptized. The minister was out in the river baptizing, and the drunk just kind of stumbled up to the minister, kind of caught the minister off guard a little bit. And he turned and he noticed the man, and he just thought, "Mister, are you here to find Jesus?" And the man responded, "Yeah, preacher, I'm here. I'm ready." So the pastor did what comes naturally to him. He took the man and he dunked him. And he brought him back up and he said, "Did you find Jesus?" And the man said,
No, I didn't find him. So the pastor dunked him again, except this time he held him under the water even longer. And he brought him back up, and he says to him, he says, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" And the man responded, "No, I haven't, preacher." By this time, the pastor is really getting a little bit perturbed, and so he figures this is going to be the last time. So he grabs him, he dunks him, he holds him down like what seemed like forever. It's probably only about 30 seconds, you know? And then he brings him up out of the water, and the guy is just gasping for air. He's wiping the water away from his eyes, and the pastor says, "Friend, are you sure you haven't found Jesus yet?" And he says, "No, preacher. Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Baptism isn't where you find Jesus, okay? It's what you do after you found him. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of faith. And baptism is really the first step of obedience for anybody who knows Jesus, who's come to Christ, who has been saved by the blood of Jesus. And that's the pattern that you see in the New Testament. Throughout the pages of Scripture, you see it's this pattern of believe and be baptized. And I know in our congregation, and I'm a part of this group of people who were baptized as infants. But the only problem with that is that you can't believe when you're an infant. And Jesus says, believe and to be baptized. And so he commands us also in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And then he says what? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And so baptism is really an act of obedience, but it's obedience that's born out of a heart of love. We obey because we love Jesus. In fact, Jesus said it in John 14:5. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So once you understand that baptism is a commandment of the Lord, if you say you love Jesus, then you won't hesitate to follow the Lord in Christian baptism. So obedience and love are two motives for a person to be baptized. But I think there's even a third reason. Maybe it's a little on the selfish side, but that is joy. I think if you ask anybody here at New Life who has gone through believer baptism, they will tell you it is a joyous experience. Doesn't mean, you know, there are lightning bolts and, where it's overly emotional, but there's a sense in which, wow, I know God is pleased with me. And that sense of God's pleasure brings about great joy. And God wants our joy to be full. He wants us to experience true joy. And he wants to bless us more than we even want to be blessed. Now, the English word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means literally to dunk or to dip or to immerse. And that's why we practice baptism by immersion, meaning you're going into the water completely and coming out of the water, as opposed to pouring, sprinkling, or being dry cleaned, okay? The mode is not as important as obedience to the command, but the word carries that meaning. And when you look through Scripture, you see even Jesus, when he was baptized, he went into the water and came up out of the water. So it is interesting, too, to look back at Old Testament practices and such, because in the Old Testament, baptism had to do more with ritual cleansing, but it also served as an initiation into Judaism. In the New Testament, baptism has more to do with spiritual purity, and it signals a repentant heart and a commitment to follow Jesus. It is a public profession of faith. It's someone declaring, "I'm not ashamed to say I belong with Jesus," or that I am with Jesus. It means identifying with or me being one with Christ. And something that is lost today in the modern church is that baptism was the initiating rite into the Christian community, the church. The Apostle Paul explains that baptism is a picture of the believer's union with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In Colossians chapter 2, he writes, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. You see, in baptism, the believer is identifying with Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. That's why immersion is such a great picture or portrait of what you're really saying. You're saying that because of the faith that you have in Christ, the old you has died. He's been buried, just as Jesus was laid in the tomb. But by the power of God and the grace of God, you have been raised to new life, just as Christ has risen from the dead. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward transformation. But it's more than that. Baptism is a church's act of affirming and portraying a believer's union with Christ by immersing him or her in water. And it is a believer's act of publicly committing him or herself to Christ and his people, thereby uniting a believer to the church and marking off him or her from the world. Now, that's an important piece of the puzzle, is that when a person comes to baptism, it's an outward sign of an inward transformation, but it's also a commitment that says, I'm a part of a new kingdom now. I belong to God's family now. My life has to be lived differently now. And when you think about it, baptism is not a private religious ceremony. I mean, if you were out this summer at a local pool and somebody comes up from behind you and dunks you, does that make you baptized? Of course not. If he comes up to you and says, "Hey, now you're baptized," I mean, that doesn't change it either. So baptism is connected to the church. That's why it's a church's act of affirming that this person belongs to Christ. As best as we can tell, only God really knows a person's heart, but as best as we can tell, that's one of the reasons why we have all of our baptismal candidates write out their personal testimonies. We want them to think through their spiritual journey. We need to know, do they really know Christ? Now, of course, just because something's written on paper doesn't necessarily make it true, but we also rely upon people who know these people, especially when it comes to children and teens. How about mom and dad? What do you see happening? Do you believe your son or your daughter belongs to Christ? And so there is a responsibility that we bear that when people come to follow the Lord in baptism, that they know Jesus. Otherwise, they're just getting wet. Baptism is not unlike marriage. Those of you who are married, you understand it was a pretty serious deal to walk down the aisle, ladies, to be up front with the preacher and to hear those solemn words. And oftentimes, you know, they say that this holy estate should not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly. The same thing is true about baptism. And baptism is also similar to marriage in that at a wedding, you receive one of these. Now, this ring does not make you married, but it is a symbol of your fidelity to one another, your relationship to one another, and you agree to give and receive these rings as a token of your love for the other and as a token of the love from the other. And so this morning as we go to baptism, that's what we're seeing here, is a picture of that inward transformation of that love. I think it would be helpful too to remember something, is that in the early church, baptism was not, you know, a cool thing to do. If you got baptized in that culture, it could cost you your life. Because you were in a godless culture surrounded by people who hated Christians and wanted to put them to death. And now you're publicly going to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Do what you will. I don't care. If God is for me, who can be against me? I mean, you could lose your life. You might lose your family. You might be ostracized from society. But you became a part of a new society. You became a citizen of heaven when you came to faith in Christ. So baptism was a dangerous thing. Today, not so dangerous, at least not here in America, but it's still a serious thing. So each of the people being baptized this morning have shared their testimonies with me, and we're going to read them here in just a minute, and then they're going to come forward and be baptized. And while this is going on, I want you to not only just watch, but I want you to understand the significance of this and to ask yourself, maybe you're here this morning, and say, I've never been baptized. Some of you are saying, I don't even know if I'm saved. I would love to talk with you afterwards. And so I'm going to ask Amy Hesterman if she would come forward, and she's going to read the first couple of testimonies. And then after that, Paul Johnson's going to come up. And while she's coming, let me just have a quick word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this wonderful time that we have together. Lord, we just pray that this would be not only an encouragement to those that are being baptized, but to all of us here who are a part of New Life, and all of the families and friends that are represented. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's actually my honor to be doing the next two testimonies of baptism. Both of these boys are students of mine at Madison, but also I've known them since they were born. So this is a special moment for me to be able to share this with you and watch this happen as well. This is AJ Shimp. Before I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I would be mean to my siblings all the time. We would argue and say mean things to each other. I only felt sorry if it meant I'd get out of trouble, like when I was grounded because I disobeyed my parents. But if I said I was sorry, then maybe I would get some privileges back. I heard about Jesus when I was at church with my family. My parents read to me from the Bible and explained to me that all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. This made me sad. But they also read that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. When I first understood how Jesus died for my sins, I was shocked. It made me want to cry. I understood that I was a sinner who would go to hell, but his death and my faith in him gave me a chance to escape and go to heaven instead. So one night, when I was 10 years old, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And now I feel more calm because I know that when I do mess up, I'm forgiven. So now I'm trying to learn more about Jesus and God and how he wants me to act and what he wants me to do. I find myself being nicer to people and saying I'm sorry when I mess up because I know that I hurt that person. And even more importantly, I know I hurt God. I'm excited to see where my life with Jesus takes me here on earth, and I'm even more excited that I can live forever with God in heaven.
Amen. Well, it is It's an honor and privilege, AJ, to baptize you, my brother, today. All right? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
This is AJ's brother, Aiden Shimp. Before I knew Jesus, I would do or say things that were hurtful to my family, teachers, and friends at school. And most of the time, I would not feel sorry for what I did. When I did feel sorry, I did not understand why I kept saying and doing mean things. As I attended church and school, and as my parents read from the Bible, I learned that no one does good, not even one. Then I learned that the wages of sin is death, meaning we are all going to hell, but that the free gift of God is eternal life, meaning anyone who believes in Jesus will live forever in heaven. So I asked Jesus into my heart so that I could go to heaven with him and with the people I love who also believe. Since then, even though I sometimes still do or say hurtful things, I feel sorry right after it happens. Dad says that that's the Holy Spirit working in me to change me, and that makes me really excited because I know that I cannot change all by myself. I know that because Jesus died for me, I'm not only forgiven, but that I have a home in heaven waiting for me. I have a lot to learn about walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called, but I'm looking forward to growing into a good Christian person.
Amen. We all have a long way to go in that, Aiden, but it's an honor for me today to get to baptize you. Baptizing you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Paul Johnson will now come and share the rest of our testimonies.
So I'm honored to share the personal testimony of Andrew Estabilo. My name is Andrew, but I go by Andy. I was born on February 26, 2007 in Laguna Beach, California, and I moved to Ohio when I turned one. My mom took us to church off and on until I was three. Then my parents found new life and we became regular churchgoers. My mom and dad have taught me about God and Jesus for as long as I can remember, and told me to be good and kind and to say nice things and not to take the Lord's name in vain. I have tried my best to do those things, but from time to time, I was six. I have struggled with controlling my actions. There have been times when I felt out of control and angry. At times, I felt like hitting someone or something. On top of this, I have had a hard time focusing and sitting still. My doctor diagnosed me with ADHD and put me on medicine. The first two I tried made me feel depressed. I couldn't smile or laugh. I didn't feel like doing anything, and my head felt weird. Then my doctor changed my medicine again. But I was so scared of feeling the way again that I wouldn't take them. My family wanted me to be true to myself and supported me in this. I continued to struggle with controlling my temper and actions, however, and I took my anger out on my sisters, which I knew was a sin. I wanted to change, I just didn't know how. So one night, my mom got the family to pray, and it was my turn. I prayed to God and I asked for his forgiveness and to take all the sin out of my life and give me a new start. The Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That night, I called on Jesus to save me. Not long after this, I broke my arm, but even as God was healing my body, he began healing my heart. He began teaching me to have sympathy for others and to have patience. He has given me a boldness to pray out loud, even when we are in a restaurant. Remember, I said that I took my anger out on my sisters. Well, I still get mad at my sisters from time to time, but I've gotten way better in controlling my actions. God is teaching me how to control my actions. Last year, when I heard about baptism and asked my mom about it, she explained to me, then showed me a video on the Bible app that is one kid explaining to another kid. After that, I knew I was ready to show the world that I am born again believer and washed clean of my sin. I know that I am human and I will still make mistakes, but I am so blessed to have Jesus as my Savior. God is molding me into a godly person who will not dwell on the things that I fall short of, rather a person who rejoices in what God has done for me and what he has yet to do in and through my life. One Bible verse that really stuck out to me is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I believe that verse, and I know that Jesus died for me so that I could have eternal life. Now my life belongs to him.
It's an honor for me to baptize you today, my brother in Christ, baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a newness of life.
To share the personal testimony of Bill Berg. I grew up in a small town about 100 miles north of Columbus. Ragersville had a population of about 125. About a tenth of the town's population lived in my house. I lived with my mom, my dad, grandpa, and 9 brothers and sisters. I was in the middle of the pack. Growing up, I thought I was a pretty good kid. I didn't do a lot of things I shouldn't have. And unlike my siblings and other kids, I found myself always wanting to help others. Despite my relative goodness, I knew I was far from perfect. One day when I was about 10 years old, an elderly lady who lived next door to us invited me and my brothers and sisters to go to church, so we went. I kind of liked it, so I kept going all throughout my early teen years. Eventually, even my mom started to attend services regularly. Once I was out of high school, however, I stopped going to church, and I soon came under the negative influence of people I worked with. I still thought I was a good guy, but I could see that I was not good enough as I thought I was. While in my 20s, I met a young lady who would later become my wife. We were married in the same little church that I went to when I was a child. We remained there for 26 years and raised our children in church. My daughter Carol was later married there and by the same minister that married me and my wife. I have many pleasant memories associated with that church, including our wedding. But one memory I wish I had was to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It may sound strange and sad, but I do not recall hearing anything about sin or about God sending his son to save us from our sin. After my daughter Carol started attending New Life, my wife and I eventually decided to visit too. Well, we are still here. It didn't take long to realize that there was something different about this church. And I mean that in a positive way. It was here that I began to hear the truth. And the people at New Life had something that I didn't. And they seemed a genuinely interest in me and my family as well. Over the years, I've had numerous health issues and had been in coma for 5 times. Last year, I was about near death as you could be, yet God saw it fit to restore me to good health. I survived a kidney failure and heart problems. This nearness of death was a way of getting your attention. I felt God had given me a new lease on life, and I felt him tugging at my heart. Once I was back home, I decided to find out more about New Life, so I attended a discovery class with several other people. We were given an assignment to write out our personal testimony of how we received Christ as Lord and Savior. but I couldn't do it. A couple weeks later, Pastor Paul invited me to meet with him. I think he could tell I needed some help. After sharing a bit of my story with him, he proceeded to explain the gospel. He explained that I could never be good enough to get into heaven, that all mankind is separated from God by sin, and that the wages of sin is death. He shared that because God is holy, he must punish sin. But he also shared that God loved me and wanted to save me from my sin. He explained that God sent his only son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, so that I could have a relationship with him and receive the gift of eternal life. Pastor Paul then asked me directly if I had ever made a conscious decision to turn my sin, to turn away from my sin and receive Christ as my Savior and the Lord. And I said, I don't think I've ever have. He then asked me if I would do that right now. And I said, yes. I knew it was time to receive Christ into my life. That day we prayed together and I asked Jesus to save me from my sin and give me the gift of eternal life. After decades of going to church, I finally have surrendered my life to Christ. Since then, I feel like a new man. I used to act without thinking and without regard of others. Now I try to consider others and think things through first. I have a new hunger to know God and His Word. I love coming to worship and have even joined the life group with my daughter. I am even reading the Bible out loud in group and praying. It is a little scary because I don't know the Bible very well, but I am learning and I am growing in my faith. I know that I have a long way to go. I am not where I need to be, but I am sure that God's grace, I will come more like Jesus. During my comas, I wasn't ready to step into eternity. Now I am. Because of what Jesus has done for me, my mind is at ease about life after death. I know that I have eternal life and that one day I have a home in heaven waiting for me.
Amen. Amen. It's my honor today, Bill, to baptize you, my brother in Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, to walk in a newness of life. Thank God.
As we close, I want to read the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Titus. He writes, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying." May the grace of Christ be with you all. Have a great day. Amen.